Good evening. I like to jump straight into my sermons most of the time, but I do feel like I need to say something. I really appreciate the shower that you threw for us this afternoon. Talking about love, we feel very loved here. We feel appreciated here. It means so much to us. You know, for me, I'm thinking, well, you know, third kid, it's not that big a deal. I mean, when you have your first kid, that's a big deal. Everyone makes a big deal of that. Bethany was the first grandbaby on both sides. So, you know, we've been very spoiled, and we certainly felt very spoiled and loved on today. Especially seeing as for me, I was like, well, we have most of the stuff, don't we? I don't know. Maybe MK gave some of that baby stuff away, but it means more than I can express, and it's almost overwhelming how much love was shown to us today. And you know what? We're talking about love tonight, and one of the things about love is it's easy to love people who love you. And the verse that was read before we got started here was the one that's on the screen now, that a new commandment was given. And it's not really new, is it? It's similar to another commandment. But there is a new twist on it. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I guess the new part of it is that he expounds upon it. Not just that you love one another, but that you love one another the same way that God loves. And now that's a high bar. Yeah, I love my family. I love my wife. And I love you guys. You guys are easy to love. You guys just threw me a shower. You guys invited me to come work with y'all. It's easy to love people who are similar to you, who agree with you, who are like you. But as we're going to see in the sermon, not everybody is as easy for us to love. And even sometimes amongst brethren or family, we have our warts, we have our flaws. It can be difficult for us to love one another, especially with the same kind of love that God loves. God's love is perfect and holy, as we just sang. And if we are to call ourselves Christians, if we are to call ourselves His people, how are people going to know we're His? How are they going to know if we're His disciples or not, if we show the same kind of love that He shows? So it's a high calling, a high bar. So much so that I titled the lesson Defined by Love, and I should have put that, I guess, at the top of the lesson here, but it's on the sermon outline there. The reason why I said that, because I think that's what it all comes down to. When people look at you, do they say, oh yeah, the first quality that I think of when I think of, insert your name here, is love. I'm not sure that's what they'd say about me at first. I still remember back when I was in high school, when I was on the football team, there was another member of the church that went to a different church down the road, and I had no idea he was a Christian. I found out much later that he was a Christian, and I don't think he knew I was either. And I thought, well, I'm not sure that's a good thing. I'm not sure it's a good thing that people wouldn't be able to tell, hey, there's something different about this person. The way that they show love is very intense. Not like the way that the world loves, but the way that God loves. So I want to highlight that and carry that through when we're talking about what does it mean to love one another as God loved us. So, well, God, he loved us enough to die for us. So that says something right there. So I want to talk about love. And to me, the first thing that comes to mind is the greatest commandment, that we're to love God. Now, I want to bring this up, and then we're going to move on and spend the majority of the time talking about, you know, we have the greatest commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we'll ask the question, who is my neighbor? And spend some time exploring how exactly do we love our neighbor. But I think that first and foremost, if we're going to love like God, we need to love God and we need to appreciate Him and understand how it is that He loves. And Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus, testing Him, saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think we all know this, obviously. How many passages are in the scriptures that talk about the importance of love? Love being a Christian virtue, love being who God is. God is love. God is love defined. And if we're going to be like him, then we need to love the same way that he loved. And Jesus here explains that the greatest commandment, the most important thing that we can do, is love God and love our neighbor. I mean, love ought to be the defining characteristic and quality that defines our life. It's what brings meaning into our lives. And if we don't love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, then we're not really loving the way that God loves. We're not really loving right. And although that's an easy passage to understand, that when I read that passage to you, I don't have to go into a great explanation to explain to you what that passage means. It's the implementation that's hard, right? If I'd ask you, do you really love God with every fiber of your being? And what do your actions say about how much you love God? Well, if we're being honest, we might have to admit to ourselves, I could probably love God more, and I should love God more than I do now. I think that's why we're here tonight, to try to cultivate and to love God with every fiber of our being, but that's difficult while we live here in the flesh. So I think as we talk about this and all the character, all the people that would fall under the category as loving our neighbor, I think we have to look at the good and the bad. On one hand, it's very easy to love God because God's very lovable. God is perfect. God has sacrificed a lot for you. It's kind of easy to say, oh yeah, I love Jesus, right? I love Jesus. I'm a preacher, so you might assume that maybe I love Jesus, that I like to preach the gospel. S.G. Miller said to me this morning that he appreciated my labor of love. Well, hopefully I do love Jesus, and I do love preaching the gospel to God's people or to anyone who would hear. But do we always feel that way? Do we always feel it as a joy? I think sometimes that's difficult for us. And the easy part of it is, yeah, God's perfect and he's easy to love. The hard part is I can't see God. And I have a tendency to maybe forget about God. And I have this battle that we've been talking about in Romans about the flesh. And as long as I live here in the flesh, I'm going to be struggling with that. That I can see this podium, I can touch it, I can see the tasty barbecue I had for lunch, and I love that barbecue, and I can see my lovely wife and my children and my family and my friends. I can interact with you, I can speak with you, and I can physically see you, and all my senses are there. I know that it's real. With God, hopefully, we all believe that he exists, and we believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and we believe in him. But is he at the forefront of our mind? That's what makes it difficult for us to love God. Aside from that, loving God is really the easiest thing that we have to do on this list. The hard part of it is loving him with all that we have. Now, when I think about that, that's the kind of love God shows to all his creation. He shows this grace that we talked about this morning, this amazing grace that it's hard for us to even describe how much he loves you and me, that he would, even when we were sinners, die for us, that he would love us so much that he would do all those things. And so to emulate that, that's a challenge. This task, this new commandment that he's given on top of loving God and loving our neighbor is to love with the same love that he's loved and to love one another with that. And it ought to be defining for us as Christians that people can tell that's God's man, that's God's woman. They look like God. It's their defining characteristic. I can tell that they're a Christian because they love God with all their heart. It can't help but exude from them in all the decisions that they make, in the conversations that they have. They can't help but bring him up because they love him. And not only that, but that they have love for their neighbor. And so this one is, I guess, a more expounded expounded thing. Like I said before, it's easy to love God because he's perfect. It's difficult sometimes to love people. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not the Father, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So, I guess backing up, before we get full-blown into loving your neighbor, if we're really going to love God, we can't love the world or the things of the world. And there's a lot of people who are of the world. So I think it's difficult for us sometimes to love our neighbor and to love people when they, like you and me, have flaws. There are many people out in the world today who are doing a lot of wicked things, a lot of degenerate things, a lot of things that go against what the Scripture teaches. And for you or for me, I think the challenge is, I don't like those things. And so then I don't like that person by extension, right? It becomes increasingly hard for me to care about people when I disagree with them. Maybe I disagree with them on a lot. Maybe I disagree with them on almost everything. How do I find it within myself to show the same kind of love that God shows for them? He's their creator. He's their father. And so what we have to realize is God is not of this world, and that, yes, we all struggle with these things. And God, the love that God shows, he loves them despite all their sins. We can be right about everything, but not have love, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and although I give my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing." And in verse 13, he says, "Now abide in these, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." We can't underestimate and undervalue the power of love, the importance of love. God said it's the greatest commandment, and you can have all these other qualities, all these other great qualities where you're trying to serve God, and yeah, oh, sure, God, I love you, and I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do all these great things according to my faith and my belief in you. But if you don't love people, what good is it? If you're just doing it for yourself or to get yourself into heaven or for the clout or for whatever other reason, any reason other than you genuinely care for people, well, then you might need to fix that. It says here, you can do all those things and it's worth nothing if you don't genuinely love people. And as we have a congregation of two congregations coming together, you know, sometimes relationships take time to develop. They take time to build. But if you're going to love somebody, you got to be there for them. You got to do things with them. You got to spend time with them and spend time developing that. You don't just love God by accident. We talked about what's the challenging part of loving God. It's not that he has some imperfection. It's that we forget about him. And so how do we fix that? We pray. We spend time reading his word. We spend time thinking about him and developing that relationship and that closeness with God. Rather than spending our thoughts on the things of this world, spending time thinking about spiritual things. And so let's take it to the next level. If it's that difficult for us to love God, who's perfect, how are we going to love our neighbor who has all these flaws? Well, you got to develop a relationship in the same way. Except it might be even more of a challenge because we might have to overlook some things, overlook some flaws. So when we talk about loving our neighbor, how can we get through this life loving other people the way that God loves them? if we don't actually put any effort into it, the answer is it's not just going to happen. We have to cultivate those things. We don't have time to go through a whole sermon on chapter 13 here of Corinthians describing what love is. But I think it's enough to say that it's something that we're going to have to work on. And so I have this three categories, and it's going to become, I guess, maybe increasingly difficult for us to love these people. I want to start off with our brethren, because if we can't love our brethren, if we can't love the people that we share faith with, the things that we have stuff in common with, it's going to be really hard to get down to our enemies, loving our enemies, the people who are actively opposed to us, because God loves all these people, and many times we have difficulty with these things. During all this COVID crisis, it can become easy for people to become cynical, to become annoyed, to get angry at the people that they disagree with. It can become easy for us to become disconnected, disjointed, and disunified, even in the church. And all these things are maybe because we're looking for our own interests. And when you have a prolonged and this thing has drug out for over a year, sometimes it can become difficult to still care about our brethren, still care about the needs of other people, to still reach out. We talk about loving our brethren. It's absolutely, absolutely essential. No question about it. In 1 John chapter 3, God talks more about his children, who are the children of God, who are the children of the devil. Could go with the sermon this morning, the children of the light versus the children of darkness. And John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says, In this the children of light of God and the children of devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor does he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are the children of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So what is this new commandment he gave us again? It's to love our brothers. Seems to be a specific and maybe a deeper love, a different love that we have towards our brothers than we do towards just anybody. I think that's probably true for anyone. I mean, no offense to anybody, but I love my family. Yes, I would die for them without even skipping a beat. And, you know, we've come to think of you all, our church family, as family as well, but I wouldn't necessarily want to sacrifice my children for one of you. Maybe myself, maybe my own life I would lay down, but maybe not my child's life. And yet God loved us. What kind of love did he manifest? The commandment that he gave us was to love one another as he loved us. And he loved us enough to give his son for us. So that deep, intense love we ought to have for one another as brothers and sisters in the church goes beyond, well, we should be able to just get along, but it ought to be a legitimate fondness and care for each other. that we actually care what happens in each other's lives, and that we don't love in word, talk is cheap, but in action. So when we have those who are struggling with anxiety, when we have those who are in the hospital, when we have those who are having a difficult time, if you really love them, do you just say, oh, I love you, and do nothing? Of course not. Of course not. We need to love in deed and in truth, and our works show how much we really love. Back to the beginning of the lesson, the idea is that by this we'll all know that you are my disciples. How would they know what's in your heart unless you express that? Not just in words, by telling one another that we love each other, but also in our actions. And so when we talk about loving our brethren, maybe this is a little harder than loving God, maybe a lot harder because we all are sinners and we all have faults, but at least we all have things in common. So it should be relatively easy to love our brethren, right? And yet, how many churches split or become disunified over trivial matters? I don't even want to list some of the things that I've heard churches split over. You know, the old cliche is changing the carpet color is enough to split some churches. I think it's usually not that, is it? It's probably, the truth of the matter is, a lack of love. Why did Cain kill Abel? Well, because he was wicked and because he didn't really value his brother. He didn't really love his brother. So he explains that, you know, we ought to love our brother, but some people in verse 15 actually go so far as to hate their brethren. Can you imagine? Well, some people, I understand, even some people in your own family, will not be the easiest to love. You might not have a personality type that matches up with everybody that goes to church here. I'm sure that I rub some people the wrong way. It's not my intention, but, you know, that's the way that it is. I recognize most people, they like my wife and kids more than they like me. I don't have the best personality. Not everybody's just going to naturally love me because I'm so lovable, but I would hope at least they would see my good qualities. At least they wouldn't go so far as to hate my guts. But how often does that creep into the church where you get divisions that are so deep because the truth of the matter is they don't even really like each other? Is that acceptable in any way? Do you have the love of God in you if you don't love your brother? Well, we know the answer. Right here it says we need to love our brethren. So, as we continue this journey to growing together as two churches joining together as one, keep that in mind. As you go to the men who were picked among the congregation as elders with differences, remember to go to them in love. It should go without saying, we shouldn't have to say that, but Jesus knew that it was important for us to love our brethren. And John here expounds upon that, explaining to us, how does the love of God abide in us if we have hate in our hearts? It certainly doesn't. And not only that, if we do that, we abide in death. And if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, just like Cain was a murderer. You might as well be. It's a sin, and it's something that we all have to watch and guard against in our hearts to not allow hatred in, but to love those who are considered our brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, it shouldn't be that hard to love our brothers and sisters. God loved us when we were his enemies, when we were opposed to him, when we were in rebellion to him. How much easier should it be for us to love the people that we generally speaking agree with on most things? We need to find it within ourselves to show that love. It's always speak the truth in love. And if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. Well, one of his commandments, love your brothers. And next, I guess, on the list would be to love strangers. You know the story that's told before the Great Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, the man trying to justify himself. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You might not think it's too daunting of a task to love the people that you go to church with, warts and all, but where do you draw the line? I got to love all those people out in the world. I got to love all those people who are wicked, who are doing all these things that I disapprove of. Well, we know Jesus' response to that. He tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, which he puts the Jews to shame by using the people that they can't get along with. They can't stand the Samaritans. So that person that's supposed to be lesser than me, that's other, that's outside, showed more love and proved to be a neighbor, even more so than the priest and the Levite. And, you know, all these people who should have showed the love of God to their brother, to their neighbor, did not. And so when we think about loving strangers, when we think about loving other people, I think about all the news stories that you hear, people who died in Afghanistan, and yeah, that's terrible, but be honest with yourself. You ever heard a news story about a natural disaster and you're just kind of busy and you just don't really feel anything? Hear about a hurricane down in Houston or flooding out there and, you know, somewhere in the south of tornadoes and kind of just involved in my own life. And you don't like to hear that. It's not pleasant, but you don't really do anything about it. Don't really care all that much. It's very easy for us to pass by on those people who, I guess, when you talk about the strangers, we're not talking about particular people who have done us wrong or who are our enemies or that we're morally opposed to. It's just people who are out there in general. And I got to say, sometimes I struggle with this. Who's in my sphere of influence? When I look at the wickedness in the world, when I see all the bad stuff in the world, and I'm given a long list of all these things that I'm supposed to be concerned about and all these people I'm supposed to care about, and I'm just exhausted. I call it concern fatigue, that, you know, there's so many things that I'm supposed to be concerned about, and if I'm being honest, sometimes I just stop caring. My circle of influence, my sphere of influence, I draw a circle around my people, my brethren, my church, my family, and those are the people I care about. But anybody else? That's kind of what this man is saying. It's like, yeah, but who all do I really have to love? Is there a limit? You know, how many people do I actually have to care about? How many people do I have to help? How many poor do I have to feed? Is there really a limit to it? Well, we saw how many times Jesus said to forgive, 70 times 7. Well, God's net is the whole world. He loves the whole world. He loves everybody in the world. And what was that commandment he gave us again at the beginning of the lesson? To love the way that he loved. Oh, he loves the stranger. He loves people that have never even met. When I was in college, my MO was to go to class and then get out as quickly as possible. And I had my friends, and most of my friends were the friends that I had at the church there. And I liked to spend time with them, but I didn't really want to spend much time in the classroom. Now, I may spend some time preaching the gospel to those who I had a vested interest in. I had a job at the golf course when I was there, and so the people that would be hired on, I was likely to see them on a weekly basis. On a daily basis. So maybe I have a connection with them and I have a vested interest in them and I start to have a relationship with them. I start to like them. Then I start caring about them, right? Okay, I'll preach the gospel to you. But how about those people that you just pass in your daily life? How much care do we have? I remember when I first moved to Mahia, I learned a life lesson that, you know what, not everybody cares about you or your problems. The problem that we had was I had called the electric company and tried to switch the electricity into my name, but no one told me out of all the counties and all of the state of Texas, there was only two that required the city to send out an inspector to go out and look at it and make sure before they could turn the power on. Well, nobody told me this. I was unaware of this. And so when the power switched from the previous owner's name into my name, even though I had already called, even though I had set up and given them my credit card information so that I could be enrolled in payments at 4 or 5 o'clock on a Friday while my sister's over, the power goes out. Oh, well, let me call and try to get them on. Oh, well, the guy at the city's not there and he's out of town for the whole weekend. You know, didn't really seem like he really cared whether my power was out. And, you know, the way you always feel when your power's out is, can't you just flip the switch? Don't you care that I don't have power? And the truth is, no, not really. The person at the power company probably doesn't care too much whether you have power because they've got power at their house. And yeah, it was my mistake. And yeah, I guess I could have been more thorough. But the reality is, I think it's difficult. It maybe is against human nature to look beyond our own self-interest, our own fleshly interests. And if we don't have a relationship with somebody, by nature, a stranger might be hard to love because I really don't know anything about them. It's kind of hard to care about somebody when you don't know much about them. And maybe with God, He knows each and every one of us. So He has that love for each and every one of us. So when we're called to love the way that He loves, and He loves everybody, that's a high calling. That means we need to be friendly. And, you know, you ever met somebody who seems like they've never met a stranger? I've met a few people in my life, they walk up to you, and the way that they greet you and the way that they show love is they act like they've known you all their life. That's an attractive person to have. People like to be around those kinds of people. If you notice, people flock to those people. And the reason is because they're showing genuine care for those, even if they haven't known them for very long. For different personality types, that may be harder than others. Not everybody is necessarily bubbly or outgoing. And I got to say, I think even the most outgoing person is going to struggle with this. That really showing care for somebody. Someone calls in the middle of the night because they're in the hospital. Who are they going to call? They're probably going to call me or Jerry. They're probably going to call the preacher. They're probably going to call maybe one of the elders. And if you're being honest, you might say, well, you might dread getting a phone call in the middle of the night, having to wake up and getting out to go. But why would you do that? Because you care for them. Now, would you think I would do that for a stranger? No, I probably wouldn't. But I love you guys. So I would do that for y'all. And I think that other people would return the favor because they love one another. But when you talk about strangers going out of your way, we didn't read the parable of the Good Samaritan, but I think you know it well enough to understand. Man, that Samaritan went way out of his way. He went above and beyond to make sure that man was nursed back to health and that he was taken care of. So when we talk about love, we talk about the love that God has. Yeah, we should love our brethren. We definitely shouldn't hate our brethren. We need to extend that circle, that sphere of influence that we have of love for those that we haven't really met. And lastly, love our enemies. Now this one, okay, this one's hard. Love your enemies. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what the Jews were teaching. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you should be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, when I hear a verse that says something about how I'm supposed to be perfect, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm not God, I'm not perfect. But what is this command? His command is for us to do our best to be like Him. If you really love God and you really want to be like Him and you really want to love the way that God loves, God loved while we were still sinners. God died for you even when you walked away from Him, when you were in rebellion to Him. He did that to bring you back. He did that to bring you back into the fold, to make sure that you knew that you were loved. He did that to redeem you, to save your soul. Would you die for your enemies? We talked about loving your brother, and with some people, the way that they treat each other, you know, the expression, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Well, then now you have kind of the opposite side of this is, well, yeah, of course, even bad people like people who are nice to them. Everybody likes somebody who's kind to them. How difficult is it to take it to the next level, to have that level of love, the same level of love that God had for you and for me while we were estranged to him, that he loved us? It's difficult for me to say that I would love somebody who, you know, might attack my innocent children, you know, claim that they're some sort of, you know, racist just because of the color of their skin, because they have blue eyes, blonde hair, or because they're Christian, you bigot. How am I supposed to love somebody who's attacking my immutable characteristics, something that I have no control over, something that I come by, honestly, I had no control over my parents' skin color? That's not right. The Bible condemns all that kind of stuff. Well, there's people out there who hate you. We read it earlier that the world hated Jesus. He loved them anyways. The truth is, we ought to have the kind of love that says, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Even if you're my enemy, even if you treat me badly, what should I do but show you love? God shows love to the just and to the unjust. He asks us to turn the other cheek. He asks us to pray for those people who are terrible to us. I gotta say, that's hard. In Luke chapter 6, the same Sermon on the Mount account here, we have, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Sorry, Luke chapter 6, verse 27. I say, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. For the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even the sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even the sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Now, when I hear about the ungrateful and the evil, I think, yeah, well, that's pretty much our society, isn't it? I don't see a lot of thankfulness, contentment. I see a lot of strife. I see a lot of people not realizing how good we really have it. I wouldn't say that our generation would be defined by gratefulness. But it says here that if we love our enemies and treat people, give to them of our hearts, expecting nothing in return, our reward will be great and we can be called children of God. The reality is the opposite is true as well. You can't make it to heaven if you don't love your neighbor. And that includes your brethren. That includes a stranger, the neutral person who you don't have really anything for or against them. And it includes your enemies as well. You won't get the reward if you don't love your neighbor. And the commandment here is to love those who persecute you. Love those, even if there's nothing in it for you seemingly, there is something in it for you. The reward that comes from God. The reward of being able to be called a son of the Most High God. The reward of being the same kind of loving, awesome creation as the Creator. Why are we here this morning and tonight? But to worship a God who has amazing grace, a God who is light, a God who is love. We're here to worship Him because we admire Him because of His love. So we need to emulate that love and show that love even when it's difficult, even when someone strikes us, even when someone tries to drag our name through the mud, even when someone attacks us and does wrong to us. Do we respond in kind or do we kill them with kindness? We know what we ought to do. And again, I don't think any of this information is groundbreaking. I don't think anything I've said here tonight is something that you probably ever have never heard before. The reason why this sermon is challenging, the reason why I preach it is because I need to hear it, because I struggle with loving people the way that God loves people. We need to be reminded of that. And we need to be reminded that not only is it a commandment, but you can't be a child of God if you don't really love people, if you're not really showing love for people. And you may not have so much of a problem saying, yeah, well, I love God, and that's why I go to church, and I love the people at church. But it's just those other people that I have a problem with. Who's my neighbor? We need to be able to have the same kind of love in our hearts for all of mankind, for all people, the same way that God does. That means we need to love people unconditionally. We need to love people even when it's difficult, even when it's hard for us to do that, expecting nothing in return to do good to them. So that's going to take work. That's going to take cultivating. That's going to take changing your heart. So if you're like me and you find some people hard to love sometimes, that means we have a heart problem, that's something that needs to be fixed. And I hope that's why you're here tonight. I hope you're here to analyze your heart, to say, to be honest, and to say, yeah, I don't love everybody to the same level that God does, not all the time. And I need to fix that, and I need to do something about that. And if that's you tonight and you need some help with that, we'd love to help you. We'd love to grow together. We'd love to cultivate that love for one another and love God. We've glanced over this topic throughout the lesson. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? One of his commandments is to love one another, but he also has a commandment, if you believe and are baptized, you can be saved. You can wash away your sins. If we really love one another, we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to share that gospel. We need to help people to come to the knowledge of the truth and to wash away their sins. So if you need to do that, we'd love to assist you to do that. Hopefully that's the easy part. Hopefully we love each other well enough that we'll be willing to do that. But that's not where the work stops. That's just the beginning. If you love God and you want to wash away your sins, we can help you with that. Or if you realize, I haven't been loving my brothers right, I haven't been loving people the way I should, we're right there in that with you. We'd love to continue to grow with you in that. We'd love to pray for you. Whatever your needs are, make them known as we stand and as we sing.